Welcome to the Search Server Virtualization.com podcast on preventing virtual machine sprawl. I'm site editor Colin Steele, and our guest today is virtualization expert Rick Vanover. Thanks for joining us, Rick.
Thanks, Colin. Wonderful to be here.
Rick, can you start off by telling us exactly what virtual machine sprawl is and how it can enter an IT environment?
Sure. Virtualization sprawl is simply, you know, turning around for a moment and coming back and looking and say, wow, where did all these machines come from? It's really a product of virtualization's benefits, which is time to market, you know, being very quick as far as being able to roll out a system very quick. But more so, it's also a product of some of the built-in efficiencies. Specifically, if you're standing up physical servers, you're pretty well required to depend on the amount of physical servers you have. Same for the power required for those servers and network space or network connectivity and storage space. In the case of virtualization, you have a lot more flexibility to take resources and stand up operating systems within them. So, you know, in the case of storage, you have benefits of thin provisioning, which would dilute your actual storage requirement. In the case of memory on computing resources with technologies like memory overcommit, your memory requirements are diluted, and network ports. With virtual switching that's built into all the virtualization platforms, you're not really dependent on connectivity, hard connectivity, to stand up a virtual machine workload. Those efficiencies, coupled with the ease of deployment of virtual machines, can make it pretty easy to turn around and have a quite populated data center.
You just mentioned that virtual machines deliver a quick turnaround. That's a good thing, right? And how does it relate to sprawl?
Yes, it's definitely a good thing. But there's a perception that because virtual machines are so quickly delivered, that there's no cost associated with them. And yes, they're definitely quick and deploy very easily or even painless, but they're rarely free. There's always a cost associated with that. I'll get to that costing a little bit more in a bit. But organizations really like virtualization because of the quick turnaround. That time to market is a wonderful quality that virtualization brings to enterprise technology. Everybody always wants something quick, so it's nice to have a technology like virtualization to be able to deliver it quickly. But this might be somewhat of an anomaly within most organizations. Specifically, other parts of a technology environment may not be able to move so quickly. A good example is networking. If you are standing up a virtual machine and you're an administrator of infrastructures and operating systems and hardware, but you do not necessarily control the network, you may still have to wait the same amount of time for network addresses. Sure, you can get around that with automated DHCP for servers and stuff like that, but not everybody is doing that, much less is that something that they can control as well. And if you're talking about workloads behind a firewall or workloads that need a firewall port opened, you might have the same challenges that go along with being physical as far as your time turnaround. So there's not always a free lunch when it comes to the virtual machine provisioning process being quick. There are some other parts of the greater technology ecosystem that still revolve around processes and technologies that may not yet be benefiting from virtualization. Sprawl can help people stand up other environments quickly, specifically development and test environments. In my experience, virtualization has really helped infrastructures create more mature, more developed development and test environments, really as a result of availability. In physical systems, it was a necessity to have dedicated equipment and networks and storage possibly to facilitate test and development environments. With virtualization, it's a lot easier to create that environment and more so make it mimic the production environment very well.
How does VM sprawl become a problem?
The problem becomes the equipping that is made to this IT staff. Are they able, are they equipped to support an infrastructure that is now double, triple, or larger what they are used to in the previous world? And then some of the problems come in. Licensing. Are we correctly licensed for all of these instances of operating systems, applications, backup agents possibly, other components that go into a virtualization environment are really a representative of what may have been done in the physical world. And the cost can quickly get out of control if there's no correct procedure as far as provisioning that's associated with every workload. And then another problem that can result of sprawl is forgotten virtual machines. I don't know whose it is. You know, does somebody complain if I turn it off? There's a lot of, you know, practice points that can kind of go awry with a quick deployment process. And so the central point of that is that the fundamentals need to be in place for virtualization to really do well. So things like Microsoft Active Directory and the associated group policy, those types of technologies, that's one example that you can use to make sure all the new virtual machines are configured correctly, are managed centrally, and really are managed in a way that scales well to double, triple, or even a larger increase in your footprint as far as operating systems. This also goes to enterprise management tools, the Computer Associates types products, the Altairis types products, you know, all those types of practice points. If they can be centrally managed, you can scale really well. And then on the network side, there's a good case for network access control that can be maybe part of the solution. If, you know, if that workload isn't allowed to be on the network, then it won't go on the network. So there's, you know, the enterprise approach to managing large systems can help control the sprawl and you know, identify these problems in a practice that scales well for increases in operating system footprints.
What are some of the other risks with VM sprawl?
When organizations go one way with sprawl, yet another way is the project plan, if you will, there's a chance that you can bust your project or do what I want to call an ROI killer. If you can't meet your ROI goals by the plan consolidation and plan migration that's been established because of sprawl of other things, development systems or new production workloads, those types of things can really bust the project. And in hindsight, that might be a real problem. So, you know, you want to protect the plan, if you will, when you craft out virtual machines as far as what gets put in. Specifically, it's like if you're embarking on a new project, I think it's a good idea to stick to the plan, consolidate what was intended for that environment, and if you have resources left over, sure, accommodate new builds. But meet those ROI goals, meet that project plan first, because that can really put not just that particular project and the associated potential cost savings in jeopardy, but that really can also put your credibility for future investments and future technologies at risk by not starting out well in the case of a big project with a lot of investment that may really be kind of a trailblazer of sorts for virtualization in your environment.
And finally, Rick, what can we do to prevent sprawl?
Well, there's a couple of approaches. In my practice, one thing I've done is implement a virtual machine lifecycle policy, if you will, or lifecycle management. And there's a couple of ways to do that. One is you can set up a spreadsheet, but you'll quickly find that that gets out of date. Another is you can use a management tool to do that. Another concept that can help prevent sprawl, I mentioned that virtual machines are not free, so that means you need to have a well-defined cost structure, sort of an allocation cost or a toll gate type of costing that goes along to your virtualized environment. That may be something that you just simply cost out a slice of the infrastructure, any operating system costs if you're responsible for that, any management costs. I mentioned some of the management packs. They may have a cost per operating system. You bundle all those costs up together, and you simply present that as the cost model. That is the indicator of if they will get the virtual machine or if they will not, simply because the business, if you will, needs to fund the associated costs for the virtual machine. And the last point that is probably honestly the most effective way to prevent sprawl is to really limit who can create virtual machines. Yes, it's quick, and yes, it's easy, but does that task really need to be very different than what we would do in the physical world? Take a look at your typical IT organization. typically one or two people are the ones that actually order physical equipment. And even go back 3-4 years before virtualization was really mainstream, you still only had a handful of people that they could be the IT personnel that they may work with purchasing agents within your organization. But typically, a small number of people were the ones that were able to purchase physical servers. You know, yes, we can permission it out in the virtual world for anyone to do it, but do we need to? So, if sprawl is a concern, you may want to limit who has the permission to actually create virtual machines. So those three approaches really can combat sprawl and also help you dig out of sprawl if you're already dealing with sprawl.
Virtualization expert Rick Vanover, thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Colin.
And thanks for listening to this Search Server Virtualization.com podcast.